so much. Wonderful offertory. Appreciate that so much. Take your Bible now with me. Turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90, faithful listeners will recall that we never did complete the lesson from last week. I was talking about the beginning of a series, a little brief mini-series that I'll be doing on the topic of time management, and we were discussing Psalm 90 in relationship to that. While you're turning there, let me mention a moment ago we sang the song, The First Noel, and in that song it portrays the wise men coming to the manger. Now, that's not exactly 100% biblically accurate. We understand that the wise men followed the star that they saw, which was a literal fulfillment of Bible prophecy, and the wise men were wise. You say, Pastor Monty, why were they wise? Because they were Bible literalists. They took the Bible literally. That's what made them wise. And so they followed the star, understanding the literal prophecy of the Old Testament. They followed the star, but their journey took a long time, and so that the Lord Jesus most likely was already just a small child, and I need to turn my microphone on. Thank you, Bob. The Lord Jesus was already likely a small child when they arrived. So it's kind of unbiblical to put the wise men right near your manger scene. How many have a nativity or a manger scene in your home? Okay. Now, how you can correct that is this. Don't put the wise men right there at the scene, but put them across the room, okay, on the other side of the room, but pointing towards the heading that direction, okay, because that would have been the general direction they would have had to head. Do that, and you'll correct it, and it'll all be biblical, and it'll be good again. But that's a that's a lovely hymn. I just needed to correct that misnomer. Now, Psalm 90 in your Bible. We focused last time on the passage, but the main verse that I looked at is Psalm 90, verse number 12, where the Lord says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." In other words, to recognize, and last time we spoke on this, to recognize the value of time in that time is limited. And I emphasize that strongly, and this is a good time of year to emphasize this. We're coming upon the first of the year, and that is always a time, a mark of time for many of us in our minds. And time is limited. We talked about the value of time. We talked about the fact that even if we have a long time, the quality of that time is uncertain because of troubles and trials that can come into our lives. And so based upon that thought, verse number 12 again, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Based upon that thought, I also wanted to give this to you tonight, and I will get later on to some practical ideas of time management. But if you have your outline from last time, I'm on the very bottom of the outline. If you don't and would like one, I can make one for you. But I'm talking about tonight the idea that time presents opportunity. Time presents opportunity. Now, that may be an education in the obvious tonight. However, many of us overlook the opportunity presented to us by time. The reason this is a good opportunity and time for me to discuss that matter is the fact that we have our Christmas holiday season coming before us. There should always be a time in Christmas when we pause to consider how valuable are the moments we're going to spend with friends and family. And I know that when folks talk about Christmas, they usually go back a number of years in their memory to maybe grandma and grandpa's house or some home in the family where you used to go visiting for Christmas, whatever good memories you can have. You kind of go back in time and you remember those things, and you remember them with a sense of relish. And you value the memory of those good times. As a little boy, I remember the Christmas that I received an air hockey table. How many remember those? And it wasn't just a cheesy air hockey table that you put on a regular table. It had its own table legs and everything. It was a very nice air hockey model. And my twin brother and I would battle one another with air hockey. And we got with, I don't remember what they called the little thing you pushed it with. What was that called? Does anyone remember? The what? The puck. No, there was a puck that you hit. But what was that handheld thing called? The what? The paddle? I don't know. Okay, the paddle. Whatever. You know, that round thing. My twin brother and I got to where we were skilled enough to lift the puck off of the air hockey table. You know, it floats on a little thing of air. We got to where we could lift it off of the table and aim it at one another. And that... That was delightful when my brother actually got cut with the puck. I was delighted at that. And I remember what a good Christmas. And we all laugh about that because everyone in the room probably has something you can remember. Well, now think about this with me, if you will. The reason those memories are present, and just follow my thinking here, is because our parents took the opportunity presented them in time to make that a special occasion. Ladies and gentlemen, please, in all of the hurry of our lives, do not get so busy that you can't set aside time for a special occasion. And by the way, let me encourage you about this. Lay aside some of the pettiness. Somebody said, oh, Pastor Monty, you know, the holiday times are so pressured, and my wife gets grouchy, and I get angry at the bills, and then we all have a big fight. Okay, could we lay that aside and create positive memories? Well, Pastor, you know, they'll always be next year. See, therein lies the problem. You don't know that there will always be a next year. May I say what really bothers me? People squander the opportunity of time in petty bickering, assuming that somewhere down the pike, they're going to get this thing right with one another and everything's going to be peace and joy again. For many people, that sometime doesn't come. Let me use another illustration. One of the things that I enjoy doing the most in the fall time is hunting. I love to go hunting, and I go, usually a little group of guys, we go up to northern Minnesota, and we go bird hunting. I try to go every single fall, and every year, without question, every year something happens. Someone is either teetering on the brink of disaster in someone else's life, or there's some problem. There's always some issue and some thought about, well, maybe it just isn't a good time to go this year. So do you know what I do? I actually map out 3 different weeks as possibilities to go. I never know up until that time whether I'll leave or not, because it depends on the church. It depends on, you know, all the things happening here at the church. I never know. Well, you say, Pastor Monty, why are you so determined about that? Well, let me explain why. Because in your lifetime, God has given you only so many autumns, only so many fall times. Have you ever thought about that? How many love fall time? Do you love fall time? I love it, except for the fact that winter pours in right after that. But God's only given you so many autumns. And here's something. You don't know how many that is. Oh, well, Pastor Monty, you know, you'll plenty of time in the future. You don't know that for sure. And a wise person, okay, when we number our days, we apply our hearts to wisdom. A wise person says to himself, wait a minute, my life, and you may be young and think you have decades ahead of you, but understand something, your life is slipping away and you don't know when you're going to reach the expiration date. And so careful planning, when you seize upon special opportunities for your family and for events in your home, for Christmas time, I make a plea with you to set aside all of the things that divide families and all of those little issues and come together and have the kind of Christmas that builds a memory, that is an opportunity to remember and take advantage of these things, because you never know when they're going to be done with. I won't call his name because I know we're on TV broadcast. Many of you will know who I'm talking about tonight. But we had a man not too many years older than me pass away of Lou Gehrig's disease. And that is a very, very difficult disease, ALS. And someone who had become a friend. And he was an outdoorsman. He loved hunting and all of these things. And that disease, which is difficult to diagnose, but then is very rapid in its progression. That disease took over his body. Given his age at the time that he passed, he would have probably thought he could have several, maybe a couple decades or more, everything else being equal. But then the Lord decided, no, it was his time. So how foolish we are to squander opportunity. By the way, just this is practical. This has not got anything to do with the notes, but since I'm here, let me talk about this. How foolish we are to squander the opportunity of good times with people that we love by maintaining vendettas and issues and unforgiveness. Have you heard what I just said? Well, Pastor Monty, you know, when the day will come, when they come to me and they just beg for my forgiveness, then I might consider it, but until that day, no. And all the while, by the way, that's not a Christian spirit, but all the while, We're squandering the opportunity to build richness into our own life and theirs because of some petty issue that we can't get over. I'm simply saying how important it is to recognize that not only is time valuable, but when time presents opportunity, we should seize upon that opportunity to make something special. May I tell you what's happened in our world? Our world has become so busy that, how many remember, and the older set in the room, we have maybe a handful, the older set in the room would remember this. How many remember looking forward to Christmas? Do you remember that as a kid? Yeah. And then how many remember Christmas Day? Do you remember that? And then how many remember this? Thinking about it after it happened with a sense of satisfaction. How many remember that? Do you remember that? We are so busy today and have so many activities scheduled that life now is such a blur we can barely remember because everything is special. Instead of having one big family celebration, because no one in the family gets along, we go to her parents, and then we go to his parents, then we go to the aunts and the uncles, and then, you know, there's those people in the family, they've been on the outs with everybody for years, so you have to drop by there. And everything happens, and I'm exaggerating a bit, but for some cases I'm not. Everything happens in such a blur of activity that people hardly look forward to it anymore. In fact, around the holiday times, they look at their schedule and they want to pull their hair out and say, no, another activity. I'm going to kill the next person that hands me a Christmas cookie. And they get kind of angry about it because there's so much. Then we come up to Christmas and watch what we do. We rush through all of it, looking at our watches, staring at our cell phones, listening to alarms go off and bells and rings and whistles. We make it through that day, but we're not done because we have a whole slate of things scheduled for the new year. And when everything is said and done, what happens? The average person today collapses and says, I don't even know what happened because it all took such a blur. May I just encourage you about something? Taking the opportunity and making it special and doing that now is vital. So let me give you some ideas on opportunity. In numbering our days, we acquire the wisdom to seize upon opportunities as they arise. When time presents positive opportunities, wise people take advantage of the opportunity because it enhances the time. Pastors, there are an example of this in the Bible. I'm so glad you asked. Turn to the New Testament Gospel of John. The New Testament Gospel of John. We'll look at two examples, time permitting, tonight. The New Testament Gospel of John, chapter 12, and we're going to begin at verse number 1. John 12 and verse number 1. The idea of taking an opportunity when presented in time. John 12, 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So Lazarus is now present, the risen Lazarus. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Now I want you to notice, Martha is serving, Mary is busy fellowshipping with the Lord. She anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? By the way, look this way. There's always a critic in the crowd. There's always a critic in the crowd. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Doesn't matter what you're doing, and you can be doing it for Jesus, but there's always a critic in the crowd. This critic happened to be Judas, and he said this, but there's a commentary, a divinely inspired commentary in verse number 6. This he, Judas, said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Now this ointment was a very precious, very expensive oil that they used for anointing, but they used it chiefly for anointing the bodies of those that had passed. And Jesus said that Mary's act of anointing was in reality a prophecy of his coming death. Then verse 8, and here is the key verse to the passage. Jesus said, for the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. The poor you always have with you. There will always be poor people. You see, Judas made an argument. And Judas only made the argument because he had hoped that money would be entering the treasury and thereby entering his pockets. But Judas made the argument and said, "Now, wait a minute, Mary, don't waste that ointment on Jesus. We could sell that ointment. We could give the money to the poor." Now, that sounds noble on the outset of it, doesn't it? Well, yeah, you know, maybe we should have given the money to the poor. I mean, after all, there were a lot of poor people that were gathered outside in Bethany, and we saw beggars in the street. Maybe we should have done this. Maybe we should have done, now listen to what I'm about to say. Maybe we should have done the common thing and the expected thing, not a bad thing, but the typical thing. And Jesus said this, no. In this instance, because of a unique opportunity, you don't do the typical thing, but you do the special thing. Jesus argued that they would always have poor people that they could be charitable to, but in this particular moment, he was present, and he would not always be present. And Jesus was saying that Mary, and remember, Martha's busy serving in the kitchen. Now, I have to say I admire Martha. We're going to look at another passage. I admire her diligence, but Martha was so busy clanging pans in the kitchen, and Judas was so busy criticizing the sacrifice of Mary in the anointing of the ointment that they missed the entire opportunity to spend time with Christ. But I want you to think about this with me for a moment. Mary did not miss the significance of the moment. Now, congregation, you say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" It means that we can become so busy doing good things that we end up neglecting the best things. I understand that every person in this room has to work. But if all we do in our lives is work to the neglect of our children, to where they have very little memory of us except for our coming and our going and our always being in a rush or always being distracted by an electronic device in our hands, if that, ladies and gentlemen, is the case, we have missed an opportunity for something special. "Preacher, what are you talking about?" "Ah, you know, my kids, they're just hanging around. Boy, I can't wait till they're out of the house." It'll happen faster than you know. And may I say from personal experience that there will be a... Now, we love being empty nesters, don't get me wrong. But there is a sense of sorrow. And also, and I'm seeing a lot of heads nod, a lot of older, wiser people are nodding their heads. There is also a little sense of regret because you think to yourself, "I wish I had given them more time. I wish that emergency that was so pressing at the particular moment, that emergency that I can't even remember, the emergency involving people whose names I possibly can't even call, but that took me away from them. You wish that the emergency of the moment had been shelved, not neglected, but shelved long enough so the investment of time in the opportunity given could take place." Let me give you some practical application. First of all, view special opportunities and occasions as special. In other words, don't let the common responsibilities of life overshadow a special occasion. Now, I understand where you say, "Pastor Monty, you know, all of these things, you know, my life is so busy, and I'm such a big, important person." Well, I've applied this to families tonight, but the most important person you can be is a dad or a mom to your children. That's the most important responsibility that you have. I heard about a company, and I forget the name of the company, but it's a large, influential, it deals with computers, technology company. And they've made an agreement with their employees. And here's the agreement that they made. This was on the news. They told their employees that if they would be willing to take their vacation and go somewhere, and now here's the key, and completely unplug from every electronic device, computers, cell phones, everything, if they would take their week off and sign a pledge that they would unplug, and by the way, they're checked up on, especially if they're doing work relating to the company that's computerized. You say, Pastor, how would anyone know? These technological people have ways of knowing. The company made an agreement. They said, we will give every one of our employees who will agree to this, setting aside all your electric devices and going on vacation completely unplugged with your family, they said, we will give you an extra $1,000, a bonus. How many would take them up on that? Well, I would. I would gladly. I'd probably throw my cell phone in a lake for 50 cents, but what an opportunity. Now, and by the way, people who did that and came back from that vacation, they interviewed some of these people. And these people were like, wow, I didn't even know the sky was blue. You know, maybe not quite that bad, but they were amazed at the time they spent together as a family, and every one of them came back and said that unplugging from the daily routine made that a special occasion, and they took opportunity and time, and it will never come again. Oh, you know, Pastor Monty, there's always next year for vacation. You don't know that. And there's always memories that could be made this year that won't be made next year because of the possibility of changing circumstances. I'm simply saying that we should let special occasions be special. Number two, recognize that responsibilities will always be pressing. While not neglecting our responsibilities, do not bypass significant opportunities that enrich life. Now, here's what I'm hearing out of people. People are saying, oh, Pastor Monty, I'm so under the gun right now. Boy, I can't take that day of Christmas. I can't, maybe I'll spend, you know, the afternoon with the kids, but I've got to work through the morning on Christmas. You know, how many remember Scrooge? Do you remember Ebenezer Scrooge? And his helper, Marley, was the man's name, Marley, I think, Charles Dickens. You all remember that? And how they'd work up to the last second, and Scrooge wanted to even work through the Christmas season. Well, quite frankly, when we do those things, we miss an opportunity, and the same responsibility will still be there when you come back. Now, I want everybody to focus on what I'm saying. I'm not saying neglect your responsibilities. But I'm saying part of your responsibility is, especially for your children or for you and your spouse, to build that unique time together and to seize upon the opportunity, recognizing the same problems, the same issues, and the same pressures. They're all going to be there. Almost every month, I do a funeral, or it would average probably one a month over the course of a year, sometimes more than that. This is a remarkable thing. Whenever you have a funeral, people today put together sometimes picture collages, or sometimes they put video photographs up on the screen, you know. And this is an interesting thing. On the video photograph, the video slideshow, or the picture collage, I have never seen a picture of someone bent over his desk doing paperwork in one of those picture collages. Wow, Pastor Monty, that's what he gave his life to. But do you know what his survivors remember? They remember a hunting trip that Dad took them on. They remember a time when Dad had free time just to spend with them and do virtually nothing. And do you know what all those pictures are? All of those pictures represent special occasions that mean something. By the way, do you know what? This might fry some of your bacon, but I've never seen pictures of granite countertops or stainless steel appliances. Now, I'm not against those things, but people that focus on that are missing the boat. Oh, Pastor Monty, boy, I remember when Brother Smith was alive, he had the nicest granite countertops in the neighborhood. I have never heard that. But people who pour their lives into that are missing the most significant part of life, which is an opportunity to spend time with the people we love. Here is Mary, and Mary loves the Lord Jesus. You say, why does Mary love Jesus? Well, they were all friends, but here Lazarus is seated at the table, having been raised from the dead. Now, Martha's clattering around in the kitchen somewhere fixing dinner, and somebody has to do that, I understand. But Mary says, wait a minute, this is a huge opportunity. The man who raised my brother from the dead, that man is present here now. And I'm going to take the most valuable thing I have, and I'm going to take what otherwise would have been a commonplace dinner party, and I'm going to turn that into the greatest act of worship that I can muster, because I'm going to make the biggest sacrifice I can make, and I'm going to lay this at the feet of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, is that not how we should be in seizing the opportunity to number our days? I think that we should. They enrich life. Time invested in your relationship with Christ is not wasted. Do you know Judas inferred that? When Judas criticized Mary's giving of the ointment to Jesus, he made the inference that she was wasting it on Christ. Time with Christ has deeper significance than appears on the surface. Mary had no idea that her generous, selfless act was in reality a prophecy of Christ's death and burial, and that it would be recorded in the Bible for the entire world to read. Pastor Monty, that act of worship was frivolous. That's what Judas would have said. It was a frivolous waste. Martha, laboring on in the kitchen, would have thought to herself, I wish Mary would get in here and help me with some of this food. But do you know what is recorded in the Bible? I'm trying to cause you to see the significance of opportunity. What is recorded in the Bible is the fact that Mary got down on her knees before Christ, and she anointed his feet with oil. And she made a great sacrifice. Do you know what is not recorded in the Bible? The menu of their supper. You ever think about that? Does everybody see the difference? You see, the difference is this, that in investing in her relationship with Christ, Mary chose wisely. An opportunity arose for her to give full attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's look at another story. Turn to the Gospel of Luke. Back a few pages to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. We will see here some of the same characters. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse number 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, Jesus did, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. So these are the same folks that we met in the Gospel of John. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came in him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they were all siblings. But I find it interesting that their personalities were so different. In these two accounts, we find differing personalities. Lazarus' personality doesn't shine through, but he was special because he got raised from the dead, so it doesn't matter about his personality. But Mary and Martha, they're siblings, and yet their personalities are very different. You always see Martha involved in some kind of work, household work, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's always good. But you always see Mary as being very eager to be in the presence of Christ. And there are a lot of people today who would say, ah, that Mary, she's just a slacker. But in reality, Jesus said, no, she has chosen the best part. In other words, again, we find she is seizing upon an opportunity. The opportunity in verse 42, Jesus even described it as being needful. Nothing was more important at that moment than spending time with Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. But did you today spend time with Christ in personal devotion and Bible reading? Oh, Pastor Monty, I was so busy today, I just didn't have time. No, we all had time. We all had the same number of hours in our day. But for most of us, it isn't a matter of we being so busy and we're going 100 miles an hour full speed ahead with no respite at all during the day. But for most of us, even if the opportunity was small, if we became too involved with everything, we bypass that opportunity. But in verse 42, Jesus described the opportunity in this word. He said it is needful. It's not just a luxury. Well, you know, someone told me this one time years ago. They said, Pastor, all this preaching about reading your Bible and praying. Some of us who work real jobs, I hate it when people say that to me. Follow me around for a day, and let's talk about jobs. Some of us who work real jobs, we don't have time to just sit around and read our Bible and pray. We have to go to the office. This was said to me as a very young preacher. And I thought about that for a minute. And I thought, you know, that's interesting. Essentially what the man was saying is that I have time to go to the office and study my Bible in personal devotion. And do you know what I decided at that point? I decided that I would never do that. What do you mean, preacher? I read and study my Bible by getting up early in the morning, earlier than I would ever have to. Okay, so that no one can say, wow, he's just paid to go study his Bible in the office. I read and pray and study early, just like anyone who, quote unquote, works a regular job. But you know what? You say, Pastor, isn't that pressing sometimes? Yes. When you leave the house very early in the morning, maybe to get to the hospital, you are pressed for time. But may I say something? If we make the opportunity and take the opportunity, we benefit from it. And Jesus went so far in the scripture we're studying tonight, Jesus went so far as to say this is something that is needful. It is necessary. It is something we have to have as Christians, a time with Christ. The opportunity Jesus described as good. On the list of priorities of the moment, Mary's opportunity to fellowship with Christ was of more value than preparing a meal. Now, I want everyone to look this way. I am 100% in favor of ladies fixing meals. You can tell that by my girth. I'm 100% for it. But there are some times when the situation is so significant that the common things of life should be set aside, and that setting them aside is good. Let me use an illustration. Just thought of it. This past summer, our youngest son went into the Navy, and he's doing a very good job, and we're very proud of him. He went into the Navy, but he went to Navy boot camp, and there was a problem. The problem was that Navy boot camp, he went to the place where he would be checked in, and then he'd go out the next morning. The problem was that was on a Sunday. And now, I was able to preach the Sunday morning service in Sunday school, but my son wanted us, he had said something about it. He said, you know, he said, after I check in at the hotel, he said, I have all Sunday afternoon, he said, and evening. He said, this is my last evening at home, and he said, I don't want to be there by myself. Now, Dad had a choice to make. Dad is the preacher, okay? And Dad had a choice to make, and Dad had to choose either, okay, bless God, I'm going to be standing in my pulpit on Sunday night no matter what. Or I could say, no, my son needs me and wants me to be with him, and don't tell anybody, but I skip church. You all know that because you were here. I think Pastor Lopez spoke and you were very disappointed, but you, I'm kidding. And I said to Matthew, I said, well, Matt, I said, this is a special occasion. I said, this is something big in your life. I said, me and Mom are going to both be with you, and we're going to spend the afternoon with you. And Matt was like, really? And I said, yeah. He said, well, what about the church? I said, it'll still be there. And he was thrilled that afternoon. By the way, that afternoon, we got to meet the Duggar family on 19 Kids and Counting. They were filming at the state fair. We took them over to the fair. That was my third visit to the fair, hence my diet today. But that was my third visit to the fair. And we spent time with him, and it meant so much. And he said later, he said, Dad, he said, thank you for doing that. It meant something to him. But you know what meant something to me? Of course, his comment meant something to me. But you know what meant something to me? I'm sure half a dozen members of this church, older people for the most part, came up to me quietly later and said, "Hey, preacher, we're really proud of you on Sunday." I said, "Huh?" They said, "Yeah, you went to spend time with your son before boot camp." They said, "We're really proud of that." And about half a dozen people in this church said, "Preacher, you made the right choice. You made the right choice." And one man said this. He said, "In that one action, you set an example for us that was greater than any message that you could preach." That showed me, on a very real level, the value. And I'm not a slacker about church. But that showed me the real value of saying, once in a while, these opportunities arise that you will never have again. An opportunity that you might think is small because you might view it doesn't just affect you and only you, but it affects someone else you love. And so you seize upon that opportunity and you find out that it was a bigger deal than you ever imagined. And Jesus said to Mary, "This is a good thing." Nothing wrong with Martha cooking. I don't know if there was anything wrong with Martha's cooking or not. I've never had opportunity to try. But nothing wrong with her working in the kitchen. But Jesus said, sometimes there's something better. And time presents opportunities. And here's all I'm saying tonight. Rather than let them slip through your fingers, the holiday season, the opportunity to be with loved ones. For some of you, the opportunity to see grandkids, maybe grandkids that are distance that come in or you go a distance to see them. Don't squander that. Value it, protect it, invest in it, and build a memory in your life, but also build a memory in theirs. Because that is the good thing. And sometimes that is needful. All Pastor Monty is just squandering and frivolous. No. When you leave this world, you know what you're going to carry with you? Memories. You're going to carry memories. By the way, Grandma and Grandpa, when you leave this world, you hope that your grandkids are going to follow behind because they know Christ as Savior. And you may be in a position, as many in this room are, you may be in a position to win them over to the Lord. Don't waste the opportunity. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Boy, Jesus twice said, "Mary, you've done the right thing. Now let's us do likewise." Father, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, all of the stories of the Bible are there for a reason. And these stories teach us so much about the importance of time and not squandering our time. Father, may we be careful that when time presents opportunity, something a little out of the ordinary, a little different, may we not run from that or push it away or find the commonalities of life so pressing that there is no room. But may we, like Mary, pause to be with Jesus. May we, like Mary, give the best sacrifice we have because the opportunity we enjoy may never come again. Jesus said, "The poor are always with you, but I won't always be here." Father, help us to see that, and in so numbering our days, help us, Lord, to find wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.